Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Today, I'm going to continue in our series about strength is greater than grace. The strength of grace, and grace is stronger than weakness, sorry. Sorry, it's just there's lots going on in the background there. It's kind of disturbing. And I want to talk about that because oftentimes what we do is we live with weakness in our lives because we don't bring it to Jesus and to the grace of Jesus. And so it stays as a pattern in our lives. Remember many years ago, see, if we would learn to admit sometimes when we're weak, right, and bring our weakness to the feet of Jesus, then we would definitely find a miracle of grace. I remember many years ago being in Galway on a... Because when you don't admit your weakness, you get yourself into trouble, right? I remember being on a missions trip when I was a kid. Remember those days? And I was with and we had this, like looking back now, you want to die a wee bit cringy. I'm just not going to lie to you. It's definitely a bit cringy. But we had this drama that we did to a song by a woman called Twyla Paris. Anyone know that? And the song's called O Lamb of God, right? Lamb of God. Very emotional song. And we had put this mime to it, right? Well, I was not very good at, you know, that whole Marcel Marceau stuff, right? I was actually really rubbish at it. So do you know who actually was Jesus in that? It's a guy called John E. Quinn who went on to be the drummer for Snow Patrol, right? And so there you go, just throwing that out there. But Johnny was Jesus. But anyway, we had, because it was probably back in the early 90s, and we were in Eyre Square in Galway, right in the center of Galway, and we were hitting the tape for Twyla Paris. And your only son, no sin. I remember it like this. And I was standing with Esther Smurl, who was our youth leader. And what happened is it started to rain, right? And we didn't have anything to cover. So Johnny's makeup all started to run. So it looked like he'd been beaten stupid with sticks. And what's happening is that the water got into the big boombox thing. So it started to go... But we had a big crowd, right? So when you've got a big crowd, what you're not going to do is give up in that moment, right? You're just going to push on through. Well, the whole flipping tape box just stopped. Right? At this point, Esther Smurl asked me a question. She said, Andrew, do you know the words? Right? Me being Billy Big Lad goes, of course I know the words. She went, great. Right, I should have admitted my weakness and said, no, I don't know them. Because you know what she did next? She grabbed me by the arm and pulled me to the front. And she uttered words which I will take to my grave. She said, sing it for Jesus then. Right? So there's me and her, right? It's like a murder picture. All the makeup running everywhere, right? And Esther, like, literally gripping me. I could hardly move, right? And she had her nails digging into my arm when I got there. And it was, oh, Lamb of God. And I was belting it out. Oh, Lamb of God. And you could just see, like, tourists and all going, what the heck? But she wouldn't let go of me until we had got through that whole song. I love the holy Lamb of God who washed me in his precious blood till I am just a child of God or something like that. And it got to the end and the tumbleweed. And I said, Esther, let go. I can't feel my arm anymore. And she went, oh, Jesus, did we just do that? And I went, we did. We should have just admitted our weakness and then we wouldn't have got into this mess. You see, when you don't admit your weakness, you get into mess. But Jesus' grace this morning. See, some of us are living with weakness in our lives. And we need to not just hear about the grace of Jesus, the finished work of Jesus, our unfinished work, bringing it to his finished work. Because if we don't do that, then what happens is it just stays as a pattern in our lives. So we're going to look today, and we're going to continue in that story. Is that okay? Get your Bibles ready, and we'll go. I have no idea the time, which is a bad thing for you guys. Okay, thank you. Okay, brilliant. We've got a couple of hours. That got your attention. And the doors are locked. You're going nowhere, all right? So what I said, let me just recap. If you weren't here last week or you didn't hear it, what I said was that we started to look at Samson. And I was talking about how whenever you rest, then God works in your life. And the whole thing of the grace of Jesus is to come and to receive and then to rest in that place. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have activity. But you listen to the Lord and you do as the Lord asks you to do. And the result and the outcome is lifted out of your area of responsibility, and then you see the grace of Jesus multiply his goodness in your life. You can't make the fruit of God's goodness in your life happen by your work. Do you get that? You have to come to the Lord and rest in a finished work. And it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." And so that's the journey that we're on. We're being transformed bit by bit by bit into the image of Jesus. And that work is done in us. That's a work that we receive in faith in the moment that we come to faith. And then we start to figure it out as we walk through life. And Samson's a great story for us because, you know, I said last week, you know, Samson was a basket case, right? But he was born a deliverer, remember that? He was born he becomes a judge. This is in the period where the people of Israel need to be ruled. So there's judges, and Gideon was one, and Samson is one of them. But what I love about this story is we see ourselves and we see so much grace in it, because Samson had little or no self-control. He was a guy who, even though he was born, right, with a promise that he would deliver, he found himself time and time and time again making a complete mess of it. Anybody? Yeah? Oh, some of you just are not sure about that. Okay, well, for the normal people in the room, we find ourselves continually, even though we have received grace, still at times not walking in the goodness of it, right or wrong. Okay, so that's what I said last week. And what happens is Samson's a guy who can't control his urges. I'm going to talk about this. And he squanders the amazing privileges of being a child of God because he's wayward. But despite all of this, what I love about this story is you see grace upon grace in it, because despite his mess, despite his failure, despite his repeated, like, willful standing against what God has birthed him for and called him for, God still uses him. God still loves him because he was born to be a deliverer. And whenever the Lord puts a purpose on your life, whenever the Lord calls you and births you into something, then it's his job to watch over your life to see it come to pass. Do you get that? And let me tell you something, your mess is not going to derail God's plan for your life. Somebody say amen. You know, because half of you sit and believe, actually it will. Or I'm currently sitting in the position that I'm in because, honestly, my mess is greater than his grace. And I'm here to tell you this morning, his grace is always greater than your mess. And it's not about you staying faithful in terms of just what you do, but it's about staying faithful in your heart and understanding that every day, despite the fact that you will get it wrong, despite the fact that you will choose to do it wrong, he loves you still. Do you get that? And he's watching over your life today, and you will see the goodness of God. You will see the purpose of God. Why? Because that's what grace does. It lifts the pressure up off of you and puts you in a place of being able to rest and receive. So despite all his messes, God uses him. His name means light. He was born, remember, to Manoah, which means rest. And he was a Nazirite from birth. I'm going to talk about that. Now, I said last week that everything that he achieved was not a result of his own strength. Like time and time and time again, that the common theme that we see what the Lord wants to show you is he does not help people who help themselves. That's what the world says. The world says, you know, God helps you, you do your bit, and then God will do the rest. It's almost like God is sitting back waiting to see your effort. He doesn't do that. God helps people who he loves first, and then everything else happens. It's a lie to say that God holds back until he sees you doing something. Because, you know, God always the Lord always takes the initiative in your life. He is looking at you first. His trajectory is always towards you. Even when you've got your back turned to him or you're doing your own thing, his trajectory is always first moving towards you in everything. And time and time again, this is what happens, right? In Judges 15, let me say this, that the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. This is Samson. And the ropes that were on his arms became as flax that had caught fire, and his bones melted off his hands. And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, and he put out his hand and took it, and he struck 1,000 men, right? This is like the internet meme. Flip, that escalated quickly, didn't it? It's like, oh, holy smokes. All right, so he kills 1,000 people with a jawbone. And time again, you see that, it wasn't his strength, his power, but it was the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord coming on him and making him strong. Now, I said last week, and this is the last bit of recap, I said as a new covenant believer, you don't have to ask the Holy Spirit, right, for those moments. Now, I know that touches on some things, right? Know the dove from above, you know, like, come down, Lord. Will you fill me with your power, right? You have been filled with power. How much more power do you think you need? You've got the Spirit of Christ in you. No, seriously, how much more do you think you need? You have the Spirit of Christ in you. Are there moments where you might feel his presence more? Absolutely. I understand that. I believe that. But if you're with it, the point for me is he says he'll never leave you or forsake you. Jesus himself said, it's better that I go away because then I'll be able to send the Comforter who will guide you, right? At what point did he say the Comforter will leave you? Well, it's because of my sins, because of my mess. No. Actually, at the points where you're failing most, grace abounds more. So some of us need a readjustment this morning to go, when we read these stories and we go, it's amazing how the Spirit of the Lord just fell on him and he operated in such incredible power. I think some of us need an adjustment to go, that same Spirit that fell on Samson is the Spirit that now actually lives in you. He's not just around you. You don't have to call him down. It's the Spirit of Christ in you, the grace of God in you right now. Okay, some of you go, well, I don't feel like it. Well, thank goodness your feelings are not facts, all right? Your feelings will go up and down like a fiddler's elbow. But this morning, the truth of the Word of God stands above how you're feeling right now. He stands above your weakness and your doubt and everything else. And he says, no, that same Spirit that caused Samson to take up a jawbone and do 1,000 guys in, right? Like, probably might not be great if you did the same thing, okay? I'm not saying you should imitate that in any way. You might feel like it. There's Stevie driving in this morning. Probably could have killed 1,000 drivers on the way in because no, the way he's got an anger issue with the car, just calling that out. He's a jawbone in the boot, you know? Most people in Belfast have like a baseball bat or a hurley bat, but not Stevie. He's a jawbone because he's a biblical guy. So he told me, you know? Okay. You know, it's interesting that this is why we preach grace. This is why Exchange Church is a church that is 100% about the finished work of Jesus. Because grace will get to the heart of your issue, will bring weakness into line and see it transformed into strength. If you don't bring your weakness to Jesus, you're going to live with it. It's going to haunt you, and it will always come round and will cause you to be derailed. But we don't like weakness because the world tells us not to be weak. The world tells us that when you're weak, you're somehow lacking. Somehow, and this is what religion will do. Religion will tell you, you should know this by now. You shouldn't have any weakness. You shouldn't have any failure. You shouldn't be going around this mountain again. That's what religion will put on you time after time after time after time. And grace comes and says, no, my unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor in your life is greater than your weakness. And what that actually means is when you bring weakness to grace, grace transforms the weakness and not the other way around. Your weakness doesn't change God. Actually, he will take that which you're struggling with and he will see it turned for good. Amen? So let's look at it because like Samson's issue is not the issue, and this is why we preach grace, because we're not just about modifying your behavior. Well, in one way, that's kind of easy to do. You just preach fear, you know, preach punishment, preach judgment, and your behavior will follow suit most of the time. You won't do it all of the time, but you know, that's what religion is good at, isn't it? It's good at keeping us kind of on the outside about behavior modification, but grace is about inward transformation. And what I love about this is that when you see that in the life of Samson, it means that by the end of his life, in Hebrews 11:32, he's actually mentioned in the Hall of Fame. You know, you look at all of his behavior on the outside and you go, goodness me, this guy was half mental. But actually, he's mentioned in the Hall of Faith, right? Who by faith, it says about Samson, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained that which is promised. Do you know what that tells me when I read that? Like, when you look at your life and you look at how Jesus looks at you, we're both looking at entirely different things. Do you get that? Well, how much different would it be if we started to look at our lives the way that Jesus sees us? Would you say, as Samson, he conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained all that which was promised? No, you would go, he kept killing people. You know, we're going to look today with Delilah and all that kind of stuff. He had an eye for the ladies, and he kind of went for it. He kept cozying up to his enemies. And what would we do? We would judge ourselves that way. And the Lord goes, no. When the Lord sees faith in your heart, that's what he looks for. Faith is like a magnet to Jesus. He goes, do you believe? I know, but all of this other stuff. He says, I don't care about that. I died for the consequence of that. But do you believe? Do you have faith? Do you actually trust me? Because that's actually what I'm going to count as actually being of any importance. And so this continual battle, righteous by faith or by works, is what we're going to see in Samson. And the heart of his issue is this. He has an issue with women. All right? Not like, you know, should they be allowed to drive and stuff like that? Do you know what I mean? It's like, ooh, women leadership and all that kind of stuff. Right? I was actually, when I was looking at this, I saw this internet thing. I'm going to say it, and you know you can boo and hiss if you want, but it did give me a wee chuckle. It was this this guy talking to a girl, and they're trying to make each other laugh, you know? And he said, do you realize that up to 2018, Saudi Arabia was the safest country in the world? Yeah. Right? I'm on the really dangerous ground right now, right? And I was like, really? Saudi Arabia? You kind of think they'd like chop people's heads off and stuff. And he went, yeah. And she went, why? And he went, well, up to then, women weren't allowed to drive. Go on, get it out, get it out. It made me chuckle then. I felt, look at your, don't judge me like that. It's funny, you can have a laugh, right? And Stevie's going, amen, brother, amen. Get me back to that place, right? But the heart of his issue, he has an issue with women, and it's a lust issue. But remember, though, when you look at the surface of something, this is why grace is amazing. Religion will deal with the outside. Grace goes to the very center because his lust was not the issue. It's what religion will have you look at, but grace always goes deeper. Because remember, if we think lust is just the issue here with him, we'll go, well, he could have had an accountability partner. I know sometimes in the way the church does this. Have you got an accountability partner, right? Let me check your history. You know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know what? It's not actually going to change somebody's heart. You get that? Remember, grace goes to the center and transforms you from the inside out. It goes right into the middle. So let's actually have a look and we'll see. And this is why his weakness, because he didn't bring it to the Lord, that it actually overcame him in the end. Now, he was still, because of his faith, accounted as righteous, right? But we see actually some lessons that we can learn ourselves. So we read together. Judges 16, let's go to that. And we'll look at verses 1 through 6. One day, Samson went to Gaza. Very topical. For those of you who don't know, Gaza City, even in biblical days, I know it's on the news, it's very current. Gaza is where the Philistines are from. And remember last week, I told you the Philistines are not in the Bible. In the Bible narrative, they're not representative of the world, what they're representative of, down in the dust, right? It's about condemnation, about judgment. That's what Philistines represent in the Bible. So here we have Samson, and he goes to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. There we go. There's your starter for 10, right? Let me go back to Hebrews 11. Is this the same guy? But the righteous, hold on, by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained that which was promised. Judges 16, he went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. Really? Let's read on. He went in to spend the night with her. Flip, Nora, even worse, right? It's going from bad to worse. The people of Gaza were told, Samson is here, so they surrounded the place to lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, at dawn we'll kill him. But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with the two posts, and he tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Sorek is a very fruitful place. Even to this day, you can go there. I don't know if I've mentioned I've been to Israel a couple of times, and definitely the valley of Sorek is one to see. It's probably where the final, they think actually the final defeat of the Philistines happened, but I'll come back to that maybe next week. And her name was Delilah. Can I just ask a question? Whenever you hear the name Delilah, do you all have in your head, my Delilah? I do. Makes this story really difficult because there's no real other stories in the Bible where that happens. My Delilah. Okay, very good. Get it out of the system. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, see if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so that we may tie him up and subdue him. Each of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. Wow. So Delilah is a hired hand. You got to remember that. So Delilah said to Samson, tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued. Look, I want to speak to everybody here today because when we look at this, whenever you hear the manifestation in Samson's life of lust, was women. But the issue's not the issue, it's something else. Because it's only the manifestation on the outside is what we look at with a religious mindset, but the Lord says, bring your weakness to grace and let me transform it. So what is the issue for Samson? And why can we see today? Because we just don't want to do a religion here and deal with what's on the outside, but we want to get to the root. Now, I'm not going all Sigmund Freud on you, all right? Sort of, you know, lie back and, you know, tell me about your father, all that stuff, right? We want to go all Jesus because actually what happens, anything, now I'm going to talk about lust, right? Lust is a desire about, it's a desire to be approved or valued. That's all that is. It's looking for acceptance in the thing that you crave or you desire. And the root of it actually in Samson's life was rejection. It was a lack of affirmation. And normally from his father, we can see that here. Because, and this is why we preach grace. This is why you need to bring your weakness to the grace of Jesus today. Because when we're loved unconditionally, when we're encouraged and we're affirmed, then the lack of rejection then causes us not to seek it out in other people. You see, what Samson was doing was, his issue was that he craved to be affirmed and he was rejected. And that manifested itself in that he chased women. Now, you might not chase women today, right? But it can be a million other things, right? It can be anything from career, ministry, you know, anything in our lives, right? Samson is a picture of anything that we desire and we seek acceptance for in, where we, things that we look for approval or value in. You know, because Samson understood rejection. You know, he was a Nazirite. What does that mean? As a Nazirite, he couldn't do the normal things that everyone else did. He wasn't allowed to go to the feasts, as an example. Why? Because there was grapes there. Remember, fermented grapes, he wasn't allowed to touch anything like that. So he understood, you know, he was excluded from lots of things and rejected. No, Samson, you can't do that. You know, he had long hair, right? Today, that's not a problem. But like even I'm not that old, right? Old enough. But do you know the way kids can be really, really horrible? Not my kids, your kids, but my kids are fine, right? But do you know what I mean? Where they, like, what do? They like to pick on anything, don't they? Look at your nose, right? Whatever. I remember somebody said to me, you've got a Roman nose. And I thought that was quite nice. And they went, no, it's Roman all over your face, right? Not hard. That's kids, terrible, right? But they do, they pick on wee bits of weakness. So imagine what it was like for Samson as a child. From the very beginning, he had long hair. He would have been different. That was not the fashion. So he, even by looking at him, you would have gone, he's not like us. He was rejected by kids, rejected by society in the sense of he couldn't take part in it. And so he grew up different. You know what was interesting as well? His dad was a very weak man. We saw that. His dad should have really affirmed him. And so what happens is when you see the manifestation, and think about this for your own life, if you're going, why do I do that? Stop trying to deal with the outside stuff and bring your weakness to the grace of Jesus, right? Because the grace will deal with the root and will transform you from the inside out. You see, what happens here is that in Samson's life, you know, the root of it was very early on. And we get, there's a lot of research actually done on this even today, about very early on suffering rejection, suffering that difference, okay, caused him to look for approval and for value. And he starts to look at it in for him and women. And that's why today, you know, we're a church that preaches, you know, if it's about the weakness of the father, right, in Samson's life, that's why we as a church every week proclaim the unconditional love of our father. Find your wholeness, find your completeness in him. He's constant, he's affirming, he's true, right? And we're all born with that need to find that unconditional love and the consistency of it. The drive is there, but outside of unmerited favor, you're gonna find it somewhere else. That's the lesson of Samson. And like I said at the start, right? You don't wanna be, figuratively speaking, standing in their square singing, Lamb of God, looking like a Charlie, right? To this day, even when I think about it, I've never been able to go back to Galway, all right? meant to be a beautiful city, but I can't go there because start to hyperventilate, the shame of it, all right? But you will look for it somewhere else. So are you understand what I'm saying there? It's like there will not be another message on this earth that will free you from weakness other than the unmerited favor and grace of God. Why? Because he says, bring it to me, because it's not about the outside. It's about what I've done on the inside. Now, let's have a look at that, because you actually see this in Judges 16. Now, when he goes here, and he goes to two posts. So he goes to the door of the city gate. This is a picture of Jesus. Remember I said in the Old Testament, Jesus is there the whole way through it. Jesus is concealed in the Old Testament, revealed in the New. And when you look at Judges 16, you might go, where do I see Jesus in this? But this is a picture of Jesus. Why? What happens? He's in Gaza. And, you know, remember, Gaza is a picture of what? A picture not of the earth and the world, the enemy, right? Gaza is a picture of condemnation, right? About being down in the dirt. About that whole thing, references John 15 in the New Testament about, you know, when you're in the ground, when you're down in the world and you feel condemned and dirty and you can't receive the light of God and you can't bear fruit. Okay, so that's what, and Gaza City is like the center of that. Now, why do we see, what's the whole thing of ripping the posts up? Okay, so in those days, if you wanted to take the city, so why would he have taken the gates? And why is it written for us? Well, what you see here is in those days, the gates were the center, and the gates actually of the city were the place of strength. So if you wanted to take a city, you had to take the gates. You didn't go into the city, you took the gates of the city. Because that's where the government met. That's where the authorities met. That's where the council met. And if you were able to take the gates, you were able to take the whole city. That's why Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell. Like, why would he have said that? We know that it's an actual place, right? But why that language, the gates of hell will not prevail? Because it's a picture of taking the stronghold, right? Taking it, him going right to this place of authority of condemnation and him bearing it on his back. It actually says he goes up to a hill on the top of the hill, right? It's a picture of Golgotha. It's a picture of Jesus himself going to a place of condemnation, ripping up every bit of authority of condemnation, putting it up on his own back and going up to a place to deal with it, carrying it away. So there's this picture of Jesus the whole way in there, in the whole center of this story. And when we look at that and we start to put it together for this, you know, in the life of Samson, what we see is we go, you know, in our lives, we have to be convinced that Jesus has taken on his back and on his shoulders and taken it to the highest place to deal with it, every bit of condemnation that comes against you in your life, right? Because condemnation will keep you wrapped up in weakness. Condemnation is the fuel for weakness, and condemnation will keep you wrapped up, going round and round and round the same circles. And actually to break free from weakness into glorious strength is what Jesus has for you. Can I just go into the Delilah bit a wee bit? Is this okay? Okay. Can I just say, you don't know what's in your heart, really. If you're not in grace, you don't actually know what's in your heart. So it can be very hard to actually bring it to the Lord. Because what we do is we hide it. Do you know why? And condemnation is not just what we do, it's punishment that comes from what we do. It's the same word, it means two things. It means you do something, there's a punishment due from it. And until you remove that threat of punishment, okay, you will never know what's really in there. That's what religion does. Fear keeps you locked in a cycle of pretending and defeat. And then what happens though is, you know, Jesus comes along and he says, look, it's for freedom that I set you free. Every bondage, every sickness, every worry, I want you free from that, okay? And so when you start to receive the grace of God, can I say what happens for some people is they receive a little and then they stop. That's great, Lord. But see this bit of my life? I'm not letting you in there. And what we see here in Samson is the very center of that authority in your life was ripped up out of the ground and carried away. But some of us just go a little bit, and we go a little bit in. And actually what happens here is that we see, sometimes what I've seen, even in my own life, is, you're a bit surprised at what can come out. Don't be. See, when the Lord really sent, if it was really for freedom that Jesus set you free, then what you need to know is that whenever you start to remove condemnation and punishment, you might be surprised at what comes up. Stuff comes out, but as it comes out, it's burnt up and consumed in the light of God's love and grace for you. Every single time. Now, let me say, you know, how did he get into this spot? How did Samson get into this spot? Well, we're told that he lived in the Valley of Sorek. Now, why is that interesting? Well, the Philistines lived in the Valley of Sorek. And what we know about it was what's called acoustically reflective. So do you know sometimes in a valley, if you go, hello, 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 all that stuff? No? Do you know what I'm doing there? I'm doing like echo. Because you're all looking at me like, what the heck is going on here? Hello, 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 right? That's what the Valley of Sorek is like, right? And so the Philistines lived in it. Now, the Philistines were not saved and in the meeting, right? They were pretty full on. They lived their life, okay? They were pretty licentious is the way I would put it. It's the way it's said in the Word. They loved their orgies, etc., all right? So their main gods were the fertility gods, like Dagon, the god of war as well, Baal, you know, and basically, if you think Samson was living in the hearing of this every single day, isn't it amazing? We go to the Valley of Sorek, and then you start to look at the Valley of Sorek, and you go, why is that detail there? Because actually what it means is when he was living there, right, he was living in a place where every day he could hear it, right? Now, what's really interesting is, and hopefully I'm going to get you to think about this, he could see it and he could hear it every day. Every single day, what he heard was that which tapped into the weakness on the inside of him. And the result was disaster. Do you get that? Every day, it was all around him. Do you know in our house, you know when you've got kids, there's like certain kinds of noise, you know, when you have kids where you just ignore it? You know, like when there's certain cries with kids that you just go, ah, they're fine. Or is that just me? Maybe this is like a really bad thing to admit. But you know, do you understand what I mean? But then there's some cries where you go, ooh, better have Penny check that one, right? Oh, please tell me you know what I'm talking about, folks. You do, don't you? Yeah. Oh, thank goodness, right? Because you live with just this constant background noise. It's always there. It's almost like you tune out to it, but you're always aware of it, right? Because at the point where it changes, you're aware that you're always hearing. It's always going in. Well, that's what it was like for Samson in Sorek. He could see it, he could hear it every day. And this is why, you know, we encourage you to feed yourself on the truth of God's grace every day. Because actually, Samson is surrounded by something that taps into a weakness that's already there. That's the point. Now, what happens is this. It's interesting in Samson's life, because it wasn't brute force that did him in. It was something much different. Now think about it. The devil's described in two ways, primarily in the Bible, when it comes to the life of a believer. He's, number one, is a lion that seeks to devour, and the other one is a serpent. Do you get that? Now, the lion's obvious, isn't it? It's clear, it's loud, and it's like, you know, it actually talks about devouring in the sense of he prowls around looking to devour. So in one sense, that's about brute force things in our lives. And what's really interesting for me, there's many people who I know who've been able to stand against the roar of the lion, but they fall into the whisper of the serpent. It's totally different. Totally different. Because I actually think here, and you see it in Samson, it's where the Lord, you get these details of Sorek, because it's a picture of what our lives are like, right? It's the enemy couldn't overcome Samson by brute force. Why? Because in those moments, the Spirit of the Lord in him, boom, right? He could kill 1,000 men with a jawbone. So brute force didn't work. But the way that the enemy was used here was way more subtle. He sowed lies, doubts, confusion, jealousy, ambition, accusation. Remember, everything that the enemy does is to steal, to kill, and destroy. And it's subtle and it's effective, but it's not new. all the way back to the Garden of Eden, you hear, you know, from the very beginning, did God really say is what he whispers. Thoughts, feelings, emotions that result in actions. I want to encourage you, right? The way that you'll get derailed is not, honestly, by brute force things that the enemy tries to throw at you. Every single one of you will stand against that. Honestly, you will. That's why you don't get knocked over by stuff in life. But you know what happens in churches? Whisper, 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 whisper. So he is the lion who roars, but he's the serpent who whispers. And it's all around at times. And interestingly for Samson, he couldn't stand against it. It shaped him. It formed him. It tapped into weakness that was already there and exacerbated the issue. Do you get that? And caused him then to look for his approval. What he was actually looking for, he then looked for it in the wrong place when he should have been actually looking for it in the Lord. See, whatever you're listening to in your own head or from the lips of somebody else, if it leaves you frustrated, separated from your brothers and sisters in Christ, if it leaves you angry, judgmental, critical, then can I just say, stop taking the bait. That's not God at move. That's not the Lord. And sometimes what's already in you, when you hear that, will just cause this just to blow up even more. Grace is better than that. I need you to really think about that. To go, when I have those conversations, when it's around me, how does it leave me feeling? What's the effect on me? Is it bringing about the fruit of God in my life? Do I feel more connected to my brothers and sisters in Christ? Or do I feel more judgmental over them? Do I feel like I want to sow my life into the kingdom of God and exchange church? Or do I feel like, oh, for goodness sake, do they know what they're doing? Because you see it here so clearly, right? It's subtle and effective, but my goodness, church, it's not new. We've been here 1,000 times before. And we'll probably be there 1,000 times in the future. But the thing is, don't you fall for it. Don't you fall for it. Because the enemy will know what buttons to press in you just to exacerbate the weakness that's in you. That's why the Lord says, bring it to my grace every day. Do you get that? For some people, you're going to manifest it in different ways. But the Lord says, don't be a mug, honestly. Because when Samson was confronted with armies, he was able to overcome. Force didn't work with him. It's the same with us. And that's why many of you are still standing today despite very difficult circumstances in your life. Because the Spirit in you has helped you to overcome. That was the promise. But actually what happens is he's surrounded and he can just hear it. It causes him, actually what it says here in Judges 16:4 is he fell in love with a Philistine woman living in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. My. You can see where I'm right. Let me say that again. He fell in love. He gave his heart, attention, and affection to a Philistine woman, okay? A woman who was an avowed enemy of God. But he finds himself giving his heart and his attention in a place where he's simply surrounded by everything that leads him away from what God has for him. Can I say this? This is why you bring your weakness to grace. Because Samson lived with a basic insecurity. It was already in him, and it caused him to look in all the wrong places. These people were the enemies of Israel. Remember, what was he raised as? A deliverer. Do you get that? He's raised as a deliverer. The hand of God on his life from he was born as a Nazarite. He was raised to deliver the people, and he finds himself in the place where he actually joins with them. I remember, he's still accounted as righteous. But it's madness what goes on there. When you live from insecurity, you're going to look for things that, I'm going to tell you now, they're going to destroy you. But when we live from love and grace, we won't do that. There's nothing outside of the unconditional, unmerited, unearned favor of Jesus that will free you and liberate you to live a whole life. One which is marked by the blessing of God. Everything else is a fraud. Everything else. Now, it might feel right at times. It might feel like you're getting what you need, But if it's not a place of Jesus' affirmation, grace, unconditional love, and acceptance, ultimately, it'll kill you. Steal, kill, destroy. It could be position, power, influence, ambition, selfishness, money, ministry. It could be your own sense of self-importance. It could be your own judgmental, critical, cynical spirit. I don't care what it is. Samson, the problem with Samson is because he had never brought this weakness to God, he couldn't see that Delilah was a fraud. She didn't care for him. She was being paid, remember, 1,100 shekels of silver to betray him. But he couldn't even see it. Do you know what Delilah means? Oh, no. It means exhausting one. What's really interesting here is that Judges 16:6, let me read it. She did not let it go until she got what she wanted from him. Isn't that crazy? So he opens himself up. And when you open yourself up to stuff, because just because of weakness, because religion has told you you can't show your weakness, you can't be weak. But why? Because weakness is not okay. Let me tell you something. Weakness is fine if you bring it to the grace of Jesus. Do you get that? Get the weight off your shoulders that you're not good enough or doing enough or being enough. His grace is bigger still. Because what happens here is that, you know, these things that we give ourselves to will not let go, right? It says here, she pressed him hard with her words day after day. Remember, condemnation, that's what it stands for. Condemnation day after day after day. His soul was vexed to death. Isn't that mad? Every time he tried to fob her off, she comes back and wears him down. Does anyone understand what that's like? When you try to fob something off, but it comes back and it wears you down, it wears you down. And then finally he gives in. We'll look at that next week, all right? But that's the picture of Delilah. He's in a place where he's hearing it, so he gives himself to it, and it won't let him go. Oh, church, we're better than that, aren't we? That's why we preach grace every week for you. That's why we preach the unmerited favor of Jesus, why we preach the goodness of God, not so that you can try to modify stuff on the outside, so that honestly, in your heart, you can bring whatever it is to the feet of Jesus in this house of miracles and see him transform you. Why? Because it breaks the patterns, it breaks the defeat, it breaks the condemnation, and it stops those moments of you giving yourself to things that ultimately are going to take the very life from you. That's why we preach grace. That's what it is. This beautiful picture of him taking it on his shoulders for you and going. You know, in Galatians 5:1, let me just finish by saying this. It's for freedom that he set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. That's another one, actually. That's a Graham Kendrick song, you know. It was for freedom, Christ. Do you know that one? No. So I can't say a yoke of slavery. I have to go, a yoke of slavery, because I grew up singing the song. Anyway, for some of you, it's going right over your head. All right. Let me read you this quote. I read this guy, Jerry Bridges, this week. I liked it. He says, God's unfailing love for us is an objective fact affirmed over and over and over again in the scriptures. It's true, whether or not you believe it or not. Our doubts do not destroy God's love. Neither does our faith create it. It originates in the very nature of God, who is love, and it flows to us through our union with his beloved Son, Jesus. I love that. Church, I want to encourage you today. We're going to minister and pray in a moment. But I want to encourage you today that this, I had a feeling that today we had to go just a little bit deeper. And go, let's not be people who have received the grace of Jesus. But because of religion still in our hearts, we kind of go, I can't bring it all to him. Because somehow my weakness is going to be stronger than his grace. We see what I love about this, that's why I started with Hebrews 11, is in the end, with faith, Jesus counts you as righteous, despite the mess. But when I look at that story, I go, I don't want to live my life like that. Do you? I know that you and I, our names are written already because of Christ, right? Already written. You can chill out in the hall of faith, if you like. You know, the Lamb's Book of Life, whatever way you want to describe it. Your name's already there if you're in Christ. You're going to stand in glory one day face to face with the one who made you and gave his life for you. And as he looks at you in that moment, he's not going to go, here, what the heck, you numpty. Let's go back to October the 17th, 2024, Stevie. Did you really have to raise your hand to that poor woman who was trying to park? And the book will be that thick for you. Honestly, maybe volume one. Just volume one. And it'll be volume 25 behind. And that'll just be the year 2023. Do you think that's what the Lord's going to do? No, it's like, can you imagine what it's going to be like when he looks at you face to face? And his arms are wide. You can see the nail prints in his wrists. And he goes, it was for you. I did this for you because I love you. I always loved you. All I asked you ever to do was just believe. And so here you are standing now forever in the presence, in my presence, the Lord says. Be no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears or sickness, no more sadness. Why? Well, it's because of me. Because I did it for you. That's your promise today. And before we get there, I honestly believe that one of the ways that the enemy has tried to derail even that hope from us is to go see where you're weak, hide it. Where you're weak, keep a lid on it. Because this grace is good, but it's not that good. That's a lie. Whisper, 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 whisper. So we can bring it today to the feet of Jesus, can't we? And say, Lord, thank you that your strength is greater than my weakness. And even today, you know, for some of you, things might have gone on in your head. You go, that's why I do that. Or maybe even, is that why I do that? Is that what that pattern is in me? I'm looking for value and affirmation. Do you find yourself getting disappointed with people? Do you find yourself getting cynical about people? Do you find yourself getting, you know, that kind of stuff? It's pattern, pattern, pattern. Why? Because you're looking for value and affirmation in the relationship. The Lord says, find it in me first. There's absolutely no point in trying to look at broken people and look for wholeness in broken people. Do you get that? We're all being transformed from grace to grace. Lift your head up. Amen? Amen. Are you encouraged this morning? Yeah. So why don't we stand, worship guys, if you want to come up. Just close your eyes. Take one moment in the presence of the Lord right now. If you're in this place and you have never received Jesus, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord, and I want to pray for you this morning. It's not by accident that the Lord has you here. It's because the greatest decision you'll ever make is to become a child of God. And he loved you first. He's always loved you. He's not angry or upset or disappointed with you. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave us his son, Jesus. And as we simply receive him and we receive his forgiveness and confess him as Lord, then we are, the Bible describes, is made into new creations. You know, the Lord can take every bit of your life, everything that's ever happened, and give you hope and a future that nothing in the world will ever give. He will transform you from the inside out, give you a sense of peace and well-being that the world tells you it can do, but it never can. And so if you are here this morning and you have never made that commitment, we want to pray for you. I'm going to pray now, and if that's you, just pray with me. And then speak to us at the end of the service, because we'd love to help you as you continue on your journey with the Lord. But simply pray after me. Father, I thank you that you love me. I thank you, Jesus, that at this moment, you are making me brand new on the inside. I confess my need of you, Lord. I confess my mess. But I thank you, Jesus, that your work is greater than my mess. And so, Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. And I pray that at this moment, as you fill me again, that I would see for the first time that I am brand new. I confess you as my Lord. I confess you as my Savior. And I thank you that at this moment, right at this moment, my name is written in heaven for eternity, because I am a child of God. Amen. For the rest of you, put your hands out this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is here. I don't believe there's anyone in this place who's not touched by the word this morning. That might be a bold statement, but I believe it. Father, as we recognize, even as your Holy Spirit has put your hands on things in our lives today, Father, that deep root in us of affirmation, the need for affirmation and value, Father, I thank you that whatever the manifestation is in our lives, Lord, that's actually not an issue really for you. Because this morning, Lord, you want to go deeper into our hearts in this place. Amen? Do you believe that? Do you believe it right now in this moment? The presence of the Lord is here. And right now in this moment, I just thank you, Jesus, that he's ministering love into your heart. Just that big spaghetti ball of confusion and things wrapped up. I just thank you, Jesus, right now that you're unraveling that. Father, for some of us, it's just insight into what we see in our lives. That perhaps that's just a manifestation of something on the inside. Father, I thank you that right now, very gently, Lord, you're breaking the strongholds. You're breaking the patterns. You're breaking the lies that have told your church that they're not good enough, that they're not valued, that they're never making the grade, that somehow they are deficient, that they're not as good as somebody else, that their problem can never, ever, ever see the light of day, because what would you think, Lord, if you knew? And the Lord says, I know it anyway. And right now, I'm setting you free. If that's you, just say, thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. Come on, you confess it with your mouth. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me life. Come on, church, that's it. Thank you for giving me life today. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your favor, Lord. Thank you that the patterns of yesterday are broken in Jesus' name. Come on, speak it over your life. The patterns of yesterday are broken in Jesus' name. I have been set free. And if the Son has set me free, I am free indeed. So I say no to fear. Come on, church, no to fear. No to condemnation. No to punishment. And right now, I thank you that I stand as a child of God. Wholly loved, wholly accepted, pure. As right now, as loved in this moment as I for will be forever in eternity. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that I will not any longer live under the lie that my weakness is an impediment to your grace in my life. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace is stronger. Your grace is higher. Your grace has more authority. Your grace is more powerful. Your grace calls all things to be transformed into light and rest, like we see in this story, light and rest coming together. We thank you for that, Jesus. I pray this week for supernatural breakthrough in the lives of the people in our church. For those listening online right now, we pray right now, not to hype it up or anything like that, but just this deep, deep, deep understanding that you are free indeed. And the patterns will not reinforce condemnation in your life, because you're going to see a new freedom in them this week. Amen? Amen. Church, this is why he came. This is why he loves you. So let's, as we finish today with this song of worship, let's lift our hands, lift our hearts, declare truth over our lives. Let's give generously as the baskets come around for our offering. You know, we really want to encourage you to do that. So generously into this message of grace. So generously into the kingdom of God and the work that we're doing to see men, women, and children see their lives transformed by grace. But as you go for from here, and as we start to worship together, just say, thank you, Jesus. Your grace is stronger than my weakness. Your grace transforms my weakness. And so therefore, I can lift my hands and my heart and worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.